Leviticus chapter 16. We're looking at the first 17 verses. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. All righty. The Lord spoke to Moses after, I want you to catch this. The Lord spoke to Moses after the death of the two sons of Aaron who died when they approached the Lord. That's a biggie there. Amen? The Lord said to Moses, tell your brother Aaron not to come whenever he chooses into the most holy place behind the curtain in front of the atonement cover on the ark, or else he will die. Let that just kind of soak in for a second. Because I appear in the cloud over the atonement cover. This is how Aaron is to enter the sanctuary area with a young bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He is to put on the sacred linen tunic with linen undergarments next to his body. He is to tie the linen sash around him and put on a linen turban. That's a whole lot of linen. Can I get a witness on that? These are sacred garments, so he must bathe himself with water before he puts them on. From the Israelite community, he is to take two male goats for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. To skip down to verse 11. Aaron shall bring the bull for his own sin offering to make atonement for himself and his household. He is to slaughter the bull for his own sin offering. He is to take a censer full of burning coals from the altar before the Lord and two handfuls of finely ground fragrant incense and take them behind the curtain. The curtain separated off the holy place from the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. All right? So he's got this incense and this and these burning coals going on. He says he's to put the incense on the fire before the Lord, and the smoke of the incense is going to conceal the atonement cover, which is the presence of God. So basically he's going to put a cloud of smoke to shield himself before the Lord so the Lord does not strike him dead. You might want to pay attention to this if you're going to go into the presence of the Lord, especially if you're high priest. Amen? You tracking with me on that? All right. So, he is to put the incense on the fire before the Lord. The smoke of the incense will conceal the atonement cover above the testimony so he will not die. He is to take some of the bull's blood and with his finger sprinkle it on the front of the atonement cover. And he's just kind of like doing it right there. He can't really see the rest of it. So right there on the edge. Then he is to take some of the bull's blood with his finger and sprinkle it in front of the cover. That's like in front of it, not on it. He shall sprinkle some of it with his finger seven times before the atonement cover. He shall then slaughter the goat for the sin offering for the people and take its blood behind the curtain and do with it as he did with the bull's blood. He shall sprinkle it on the atonement cover and in front of it. In this way, he will make atonement for the most holy place because of the uncleanness and rebellion of the Israelites, whatever their sins have been. He is to do the same for the tent of meeting, which is among them in the midst of their uncleanness. No one is to be in the tent of meeting from the time Aaron goes in to make atonement in the most holy place until he comes out, having made atonement for himself, his household, and the whole community of Israel. Lord, I pray your guidance and direction this morning, that you would bind every distraction as we come to comprehend your plan for our lives. That you would direct us, Lord, and help us to turn from our pasts, to grab onto a new future, new hope, new purpose, new plan for us, for our homes. We give you that praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
I grew up in the Episcopalian church, which is kind of like Catholic Light. Okay? How many Catholics or Episcopalians, former Catholics, former Episcopalians we got in the house? All right, so you kind of know what I'm talking about. I did confirmation class, First Communion, when I was like 12 or 13 years old, and learned about the body and the blood of Christ and the sacraments and the cleansing of my sin. Amen? And I remember as a boy, you know, a young teenager, that I would come out of church, it would take communion, and I'd be feeling so clean. You know what I mean? And I would think on the way home from church, if I'm going to die, now is the time to die. Because my sins are all paid for. And it's an immature understanding and an incomplete understanding of the sacrifice of Christ and atonement and salvation and justification, all that stuff. But I tell you that because I can imagine that if you were a Jew, the time that if you were going to die at any time, you would want to die after the atonement ceremony. When the high priest comes out, having made a sacrifice for the sins of the whole house of Israel. Amen? Are you seeing the tie there, right? But it shows an incomplete understanding of what God's purpose is and plan in the whole Levitical system and the whole Levitical law. Our writer is seeking to correct that. The title of his message is, God Leads Us Into Truth, and we are in this series on, I have to break for just a second. I see Lisa Gade warming herself in the second row. The second row is indeed under the air conditioning vent. Show of hands, is there anybody who is just freezing right now? Okay, I'm going to turn. This has never happened before where we'll have to turn the temperature up. But allow me to help you guys. Oh, it's 72 frigid degrees in here. You guys are okay? All right. We can, you know, we got two different units. We can have the frigid zone and the warm zone. So you guys let me know. We can work that out. We're in this study called Freedom from the Past, and our writer, anonymous writer of Hebrews, we don't know who it is writing to a group of Jewish believers who are being persecuted for their faith in Rome, and their thought is that they would leave their life with the Lord Jesus Christ, that they would turn from their Christianity and turn back to their Jewish faith. And in doing so, escape the persecution that comes from the Romans. And a writer is doing everything that he can to say, there's nothing back there for you. The plan has changed, and you don't understand what is going on. See, God's desire is for us to be close to Him. Amen? As a result of that desire, He provides opportunity for us to draw near. Our opportunity comes in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. For you to grab onto Jesus, you have to be able to let go of your past. And for many of us, that's a problem. Our past is all we have. When you let go of your past, your values, desires, relationships, resources, when you let go of all that, there is a moment when you have nothing. Jesus comes in that moment. As we talk about today, He provides everything we need for our salvation, for our fullness, for everything. See, God points us beyond our past and into His plan. The title of today's message is, God will lead us into truth. Amen? All righty. First thing we need to understand, first thing our writer wants his readers to understand is there is a need for change. We will spend our time in Hebrews chapter 7 and Hebrews chapter 8. There is a ton of material here, and so I'm going to have to move rather quickly today. Reading from the beginning of Hebrews chapter 7, this Melchizedek, we're going to talk about him in a minute, was king of Salem and a priest of God Most High. He met Abraham returning from the defeat of the kings and blessed him. And Abraham gave him a tenth of everything. Just think how great Melchizedek was. Even the patriarch Abraham gave him a tenth of the plunder. This man, however, did not trace his descent from Levi. Yet he collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. Talk about the promises that God gave Abraham to make him into a great nation. Without a doubt, the lesser is blessed by the greater. Now we're talking about Jesus, and Jesus is going to take this argument that he's making, and he's telling us that Jesus is a greater priest. Now, our writer has mentioned Melchizedek briefly in chapters 5 and chapter 6 of Hebrews. Today, our writer is going to make heavy use of a prophecy by King David in Psalm 110. Okay? Turn to the person next to you and say, he's got a lot of text today. And you say, it's okay, because it's going to be good. Good. Everybody say good. Yeah, there we go. All right. Psalm 110. Verse 4, the Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. Now, follow me on this. David makes this prophecy. You're talking about Levi. Levi was the line of priests that were set about in the Levitical law. All right? That law, or the prophecy that David makes here in Psalm 110 is 400 years after the establishment of the Levitical priesthood. Now, Columbus sailed the ocean blue when? 1492, right? Which is 500 plus or minus years ago. That's a long time. Can I get a witness? I've given you a feel because that's how long, 400 years, about the same, 400 years, I mean, you're thinking about time, 400 years had passed, and David makes this prophecy. We're going to talk about this timeline in just a minute. A writer refers to this guy, Melchizedek, who is both a king and a priest. We meet Melchizedek when Abraham comes back from rescuing Lot from these five Babylonian kings. All right? And he comes back and he has plundered them in Genesis chapter 14. He comes back and we meet Melchizedek, who's the king of Salem, later we know as Jerusalem, and he gives Melchizedek a tithe, a tenth of all the plunder. In this time, in this gift, he reverences and gives deference to the ministry of Melchizedek. And what our writer says is Abraham was the guy who received the promises, and he is 600 years prior to Moses, where those promises are fulfilled and the Levitical priesthood has been established by the law. Mount Sinai, Ten Commandments, all that stuff. That's all the law. And so the timeline is Abraham in 2000 BC. Moses, 1400 BC, thereabouts, using round numbers, and David in 1000 BC. And so our writer says, this is what we've got going on. The priesthood of Melchizedek is going to replace the priesthood of Leviticus. See, and this totally attacks the Jewish understanding of the day because they're thinking, well, we got the Levitical priesthood. It wiped out everything before. Understandable. But then a writer says, well, what is King David? And nobody's doubting anything King David says. He wrote most of the Psalms. Why does King David make reference to this other priesthood? See, God's got a plan, and he's going to redirect you from your past into his plan. Amen? All right, let's keep going. All right, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 11. If perfection, okay? We're going to talk about that. If perfection could have been attained through the Levitical priesthood, and indeed the law given to the people established that priesthood, why was there still need for another priest to come? One in the order of Melchizedek, not in the order of Aaron. For when the priesthood is changed, the law must be changed also because they're totally intermingled. Continue reading. Man, I got so much wind up here, my notes are being blown. Wow. And what we have said is even more clear. If another priest like Melchizedek appears, one who has become a priest, not on the basis of a regulation as to his ancestry, but on the basis of the power of an indestructible life. He said, man, I'm shifting gears here. For it is declared, you are a priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is looking for proximity. The Lord is looking for proximity. God established the law to make a connection with his people. The Levitical law from Leviticus. Leviticus 26, verse 12. I will walk among you and be your God, and you will be my people. And what we learn and what we see in the history of the Jews is that the law was just not cutting it. The law was just not getting it done. And so the Holy Spirit speaks through King David in Psalm 110 and says, there's a change on the way. Because this isn't getting done what I want to get done. He says, I'll make a change in the plan. And that change comes in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? All kinds of objections come to the minds of these Jews. Wait a minute. Jesus is the line of Judah, the line of David, the line of kings. We have no priests on the line of David. Our priests come from the line of Levi. But the Lord says, that's why I'm bringing you a priest of the order of Melchizedek, because he is both a king and a priest. Tracking with me now, David's 1,000 years before Jesus. This change in the plan is a long time coming. Amen? Jews are having a problem with this. Levites were made priests based on regulations. Your dad was a priest. You were a priest. Your son will be a priest. Your grandson will be a priest. You're a Levite. That's all there is for you. Melchizedek, we don't even know who his dad was. Melchizedek appears on the scene, and he is a king, and he is a priest, based on his life and the choices that he made in his life. And so Jesus comes and becomes our great high priest based on his sinless life and based on his sacrifice. Amen? He does stuff for us that we cannot do. And he's telling these Jewish believers, guys, you got nothing to go back to. How can you go back? Now, last week I talked to you about the air conditioning units. And Mike and I having the project and getting ready to put those units, the air conditioning units, up on the roof, and we just had no way to accomplish that. Amen? And so 10 o'clock on the dot, Monday morning, the Gonzales Crane Company shows up. Mike says, amen. And you know what? This guy had this big old giant crane, and all he does all day long is take air conditioning units off the ground and put them on roofs. And that's what he did for us. He did what we couldn't do for ourselves. And that is what Jesus does in lining us up into the plan of God. He does what we can't do. Amen? All right. We okay? The change will last forever. We are continuing on in chapter 7. The former regulation is set aside because it was weak and useless. For the law made nothing perfect. And a better hope is introduced by which we draw near to God. And it was not without an oath. Others became priests without any oath. But he became a priest with an oath when God said to him, "The Lord has sworn and will not change his mind. You are a priest forever. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. God provides a path to perfection. The perfection that we're talking about is the state in which we can come near to God, come into his presence. Aaron's sons were killed as they stepped into the presence of God, and Aaron had to throw this incense up to make a cloud so he could come into the presence of God, make the offerings with the blood, and get out of his presence. Amen? And not be killed. Remember that part? Rather than bringing the Jews close to God, the law was making them aware of their distance. The Apostle Paul tells us that the law in itself is good. It's the sin nature in us that takes it and turns it sideways. Amen? It messes everything up. God's plan is for his people to beware of their sin and then come up with a solution for that sin. The gospel, the sacrifice of Christ, is what gives us the opportunity to deal with our sin. Thank you, Pastor Paul. Happy birthday. I'll buy you lunch today. The solution to our sin is found at the foot of the cross. The solution to our problem is in the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, that's the plan of God. There's nothing coming next. See, they had the Old Testament is replaced by the New Testament. There's nothing left. And he's saying, don't mess with the plan of God, because you got nothing else. Remember, I want to remind you of what happened, what we talked about last week in Hebrews chapter 6. It is impossible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, and who have fallen away to be brought back to repentance. He's saying, guys, there's nothing back there. You got nowhere to go. All right, let's keep going. Hebrews chapter 7. 23 through 27. Now there have been many of those priests. All right. Everybody just take a breath. This is some technical stuff. All right? He is writing a technical message to these Jewish believers who are going to head back to their past. I kid you not. This is not my notes. I'm going to give you something that ties this all in. I left Natty's last night, dropped off the sermon, we go through it, she's going to do her stuff. I come to the corner of her street in El Cajon Boulevard. Windows are down, it's hot, and here's this girl standing on the corner, looking for any company. Your past will reach out and try and pull you away from the plan of the Lord. No, never had a past. But sin will try to grab you. Sin will try to get you off track. Amen? And so the writer's making this argument about going back to the Jewish religion to these Hebrew readers, but I think we can take this and apply it to our lives as we struggle with our past trying to drag us backwards out of the plan of the Lord. We okay? Are we okay? I want to give you like a little break so that you can kind of process this stuff. There's a lot here. All right. Now there have been many of those earthly high priests that he's talking about, since death prevented them from continuing in office. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Heard that before? That's good. We're going to talk about that today. Such a high priest truly meets our need. One who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priests, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day. First for his own sins, and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. Jesus changed everything. Everything is transformed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we must not get the wrong picture of the ministry of our Lord. It is not as if Jesus is on his knees in the most holy place before the throne, offering up prayers for my shortcomings of yesterday and this morning. It is not as if every day is the day of atonement in heaven, where Jesus is rushing around sprinkling blood. I want to just let that percolate in for just a second. Jesus made one sacrifice for all time. Amen? He accomplished it all on the cross. What did he say? It is finished. He talks about, or he writer talks about this more clearly in chapter 10, verse 12. But when this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sins, he sat down at the right hand of God. You've heard that before, right? You've heard that before, right? I want you to get a picture of our Lord Jesus Christ seated in the most holy place in heaven. However great and mighty and awesome, we have pictures with the angels singing in their wings and holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, right? You got that? You remember that part? Picture our Lord Jesus Christ seated in all of his majesty with nail-pierced hands and nail-pierced feet, with a gash in his side. His presence, his character, is our ongoing intercession. We enter into the most holy place by his body, right? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So that sacrifice that was made was one time. And Jesus is seated in majesty, awaiting for his enemies to be made a footstool. Amen? Hebrews chapter 4. Verses 14 and 16. Think about this. Have that image in your mind. Since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with a whole bunch of incense, so that we can mask our approach and not be killed by God. No. No. Let us approach, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we might receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, and these Hebrews are thinking, we're going back. But God points us beyond our past into His future, into His plan for us, in which we can draw near. Amen? Amen. Mike and I, we put the AC units up on Monday, and we got to connect everything up. And neither one of us was sleeping real good. In the days leading up to it, wake up, oh, we think about the project, think about the job, and do this and this. He goes, yeah, man, I haven't been sleeping a week. And it's not until everything is up there and in place, we're trying to hook stuff up, we go, oh, that's not going to work. And we had to close off areas of the ducts that there wasn't any clearance. And then we tried to do it, oh, that's not going to work either. And we kept on persevering, and that frustration, that is what our writer is trying to save these readers from. He says, you try and go back, it's not going to work. You try and go back, it's not there anymore. Amen? All right, let's keep going. The change brings us close. God wants proximity. We are in chapter 8. We're doing okay on time. Everybody said, amen, glory. 1-6. Now the main point of what we're trying to say is this. We do have such a high priest who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven and who serves in the sanctuary, the true tabernacle set up by the Lord, not by a mere human being. Every high priest is appointed to offer both gifts and sacrifices. So it was necessary for this one also to have something to offer. If he were on earth, he would not be a priest, for there are already priests who offer the gifts prescribed by the law. They serve at a sanctuary that is a copy and shadow of what is in heaven. This is why Moses was warned when he was about to build the tabernacle, see to it that you make everything according to the pattern shown you on the mountain, on Mount Sinai. But in fact, the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is a mediator is superior to the old one, since the new covenant is established on better promises. That's a thick chunk of scripture there. But let's get to the main point. Jesus is the high priest, and he ministers in a perfect sanctuary in heaven. Our writer here says, and elsewhere in the Bible it says, that God set up the whole Levitical system to point to a new type of worship that will occur in heaven. Amen? Are you tracking with me on this, right? Jesus spoke to this new form of worship to the Samaritan woman by the well. John chapter 4, verse 23. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for they are the kind of worshiper the Father's seek. The tabernacle, the tent that Moses set up was a copy of what was in heaven. The temple that Solomon built was a copy of what was in heaven. And as copies, they point to the original. See, the Lord will point you beyond your past to get you into His plan. Amen? Don't turn back. Our challenge to us is that to give up our past is to give up all we have And there's always been a challenge to that. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, John chapter 5, verses 39 and 40. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. The new covenant is based on a better promise. Priest coming of the order of Melchizedek. New covenant based on a better sacrifice. The precious blood of Jesus. Amen. Amen? Last thing I have for you today. Finish our time up, finishing up chapter 8. For if there had been nothing wrong with that first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people, and said, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the people of Israel and the people of Judah. This is the covenant I will establish with the people of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my laws in their minds, write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will they teach their neighbor or say to one another, know the Lord, because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, for I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. God makes us better. A better covenant with a better people. It is hard to imagine God any closer to his people than when they were in the wilderness. He was their shade in the day. He was their light at night. He fed them every morning. But they had no way to deal with their sin. So they acted like Adam. When God came near, they hid. Was not working for our Lord. The sacrificial system pointed at their sin. The priest made sacrifices in linen robes. Have you ever seen, many ladies know what linen is. Guys, linen is like a white shirt. And they are sacrificing in killing animals. I don't know if you've ever seen a butcher wear a white apron just covered with blood. I mean, if God was going to accentuate the nature of the sacrifice, he couldn't have done it any more than here. Last scripture I have for you today comes from Leviticus chapter 17. The life of the creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves on the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. Jesus changed everything. His blood for ours. It's the blood that makes the atonement. His blood makes things perfect. His blood makes us fit to be in God's presence. And the Lord would come into this room today and point you beyond your past and into his plan, that he can be our God and that we can be his people. Amen? Lisa, you want to come up here and play? Freedom from the past. Take all that you have. Surrender it to the Lord. The Jews were thinking, we'll just go back. The writer says, there's nothing back there. There's nothing for you in your past. Your past is there as a display of the destruction of your life. so that you can grab onto him and move into a new future. Amen? So many of you come in here this morning and you have made that transition, that you have left your past behind, and you are, I so love Tommy's testimony at the offering time about how I am risking all on my tithe, and God is coming through. And so many of you experience that in your lives as you risk all and as you let everything go and you move through that point of time where you have nothing. And the Holy Spirit moves in and guides and shapes your life and makes you look like Jesus a little bit more day by day by day. And now we have a great high priest seated, the right hand of power with nail marks in his hands and in his feet and a slash in his side. And he says, come to me. You are weary and heavy laden. I have rest for you. I have a cleansing for your soul. I have everything that you need in your time of trouble. That's the plan, folks. Grab on. Grab on tight. Never look back, because that's all there is. Maybe you are here this morning and you've never really been able to give up, release all that past. The fear of nothing is so great, you're not able to make that leap. The Bible says that our Lord is indeed seated in majesty in heaven, but he also says, where two or three are gathered, I am right there with you. And that if he speaks to your heart this morning, he says, my child, my future is better than your past. Give me your past, and I'll give you my future. This morning, the Lord's making that offering to you. You're saying, I'm tired of my past. I'm tired of my sin. I'm tired of hiding from God. Okay, God, I'll take that. I'll take that deal. I'll take that covenant. I'll take that offer. My past for your future. Right now, Lord, I'll take that. Nobody looking around this morning, but the Lord is speaking to your heart. You want to make that deal with the Lord. I just want you to reach your hand up like you're going to shake his hand and say, okay, deal. Back here, back here. Anybody else say, back here and here, here. Anybody else say, that's me, I'm giving up. Saw your hand already, you can put it down. Anybody else? I said, I want that deal. With the rest of you here this morning, I encourage you, get on into with great courage and boldness into the most holy place. Get your conscience cleansed, fired up in the Spirit. Be bold for him. Be part of the plan this week. Amen? So I'll stand. Worship team's going to come. We're going to sing. That deal, that covenant is an eternal covenant. It does take all that you have. I would love to pray for you about that change in your life. Unbroken praise. Brand new life. Right up here. Entrance zone. Ticket to ride. Don't sit back there. Don't let the devil take that transition from you. I invite you to come up here. I want to pray with you. And we'll enter into a brand new life. Amen? Let's sing. Let's pray. Glory to God.